Let us start with the pranam mantra of Lord Nityananda. But before we do so, I want to express my profound gratitude for all of you to come. We tried to build a bigger temple here, but no money. So this is we begin to see we must build something at least so that everyone can come. See, when we have such a festival, we want that everyone is very peaceful, that the nerves are very calm, that everyone looks forward to go into a temple room and is not afraid of the lack of oxygen and all this. But I guess it is part of expressing our determination that we overcome all these difficulties. So I will start with a very, very nice pranam mantra, which expresses a lot about Lord Nityananda. See, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, the two Nitai Gaur, or Gaur Nitai, when they come into this world, there is a particular reason why they do come. Prabhupada expresses it like this. Krishna had explained how the souls can come back to him. However, they didn't understand. So Krishna needed to come again to show by personal example how to practice Krishna consciousness. And he gives an example. When a teacher who teaches his students algebra or writing sees that they don't really get it, they don't really understand how to write letters and so on, he will go to the blackboard himself and he will write, "See, this is how you write the A. See, this is how you write the B. And this is a C." And as they look on how the teacher does it, they become certain and secure. That's how they can also do it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna coming down to teach us how to practice God consciousness. What he does is he raises his arm, see? He moves and he sings the name of the Lord, and then he becomes so absorbed that he becomes totally immersed, drenched in the ocean of love of God. He becomes so much drenched in it that the water comes out of his eyes, but out of his perspiration as he chants and dances in ecstasy. This is the idea of one of the ideas of Gaur Nitai. Now, of the two, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quite easy to understand. Well, if you so want, it's also esoteric, you know. It's he's Krishna who inside, but who is outside with the complexion and color and mood, that means the body and the mind, are that of Radharani, who is one and two. When are two people becoming one? It happens when there is a very loving relationship between them, and when they meet in confidence, either at the bank of a river or in the forest or in modern times in their rooms, and they become so close that perhaps at times they are covering each other. One is covering the other. So this is Gauranga Mahaprabhu, quite spiritual. It's the Lord who is covered by Srimati Radharani's mind, but also her body, and therefore it's very effulgent. So that is quite, I think you have heard it many times, and it can be understood in some degrees. But now the God has a brother who's older than him, and he's an incarnation of Balaram. It really gets very, very, very blissful, you know, very transcendental. So therefore, it is said, Badaguta Nityananda Ehavata Chaitanya Dikaya Yare Sede Kitipar. In this incarnation, Lord Nityananda is carefully hidden. Only if Lord Chaitanya himself reveals him can anyone see Lord Nityananda. So today we are going to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who reveals who is Lord Nityananda. We meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the house of his dear devotee, Raghava Pandit. He's so intimately dear to Mahaprabhu that every year he would send a number of bags with specially prepared sweets to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. And he is a great, great acharya, this Raghava. And as we will hear in the evening, he has also an amazing connection to Lord Nityananda. So once Mahaprabhu came to Lord, came to Raghava Pandit and said, "Oh Raghava, I need to tell you something. Raghava to mare ami nitya gopya kai amara dvitiya nahi nitolondo bai." Please. Raghava to mare ami nitya gopya kai amara dvitiya nahi nitolondo bai. Mahaprabhu reveals who Lord Nityananda is. "Oh Raghava, now you must listen carefully. I have something very confidential to tell you. Something very secret. Lord Nityananda, whom you see dancing and dressed in blue dress with lotus eyes and a tall body, this Lord Nityananda is non-different from me. He and my soul, we are the same." And then he, as if this is not enough, he makes it very clear what he means when he says, "Lord Nityananda is myself." He says, two verses later, "In all earnestness," I'm now very real, "in all earnestness, I frankly tell you, all my activities and all my inactivities are performed by Nityananda." Wow. What does this mean? It means Lord Nityananda is not just a person, he's an energy. He's a divine force. Then Lord Chaitanya, you know, because Lord Chaitanya, you know, when you do something, it's your energy which works. No, when Gaur Krishna will start in a moment pumping the harmonium and I will sing, it's energy which works. No, so that energy of Mahaprabhu apparently is nitoy. And then he says, what we as people who want perhaps the merciful energy of Nityananda come over us so that we can also be spiritually very active. He says, that which is so very difficult to attain, even for the greatest mystic yogi, you can easily attain from Nityananda. And then he ends this section. Mahaprabhu ends this. Let's sing this for you. Eteke hoyotumi mahasavadana nityananda seviha yena bhagavan. Therefore, all of you, Mahaprabhu is talking to Raghava Pandit, and there are many Vaishnavas there. Therefore, I'm requesting all of you here, you should serve Lord Nityananda with great caution. Be careful. Very carefully serve Lord Nityananda, knowing him to be the Supreme Lord himself. So let us do this. Let us immediately serve Lord Nityananda by, there are various forms of seva. One is just the pranam seva, where you offer your obeisances. We have an image here of Lord Nityananda. You can bring him into your mind. And you can now repeat after me. I will first say in English and then in Sanskrit. I bow down to that Supreme Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He is the awarder of the highest joy to all. He is the bestower of the holy name. Harinama Pradhamma, no? He gives the holy name. And he is the crest jewel of all the Paramahamsa mendicants. And here it will get a little difficult for all of us. He's an avaduta, very difficult to understand. And we will hear how that is. Repeat after me. Nityananda maham nomi.
Nityananda maham nomi.
Savananda karam param.
Savananda karam param.
Harinama pradam devam.
Harinama pradam devam.
Avaduta shiromani.
Avaduta shiromani.
So in his pranam mantra, the word avaduta is given. An avaduta is a personality who doesn't care for the rules and regulations of human society. He will break all the boxes which you will make to fit him in. This is repeated by the tradition again and again. And there is a reason why Lord Chaitanya comes with an avaduta, or with an expansion, the first expansion, the energetic manifestation that is Lord Nityananda. Why it is so Avaduta. Now, here is one of the many references. Vede apatigya rakibare tare rugmavana vipa suta mahaprabhu name nadiya mataya sange bai avaduta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to fulfill prophecies, old prophecies of the Vedas. He has appeared with a golden complexion as the son of a Brahmana bearing the name Mahaprabhu, and he has driven all of Nadia mad with prem in the company of his brother Nityananda. Hare Krishna. Sange Bhai Avaduta. He came together with this Avaduta. Now, what is an Avaduta? My dear devotees, Avadutas are the absolute you can only say they are very, very special personalities. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says they have three symptoms. The common people can't understand them and disregard them. When they come up, they look so charismatic. There's so much energy and magic around them, and their external appearance is absolutely unkempt. What is a good other simple word in English? Unkempt.
Disheveled.
Disheveled. Disheveled. Their hair goes all over the place. Their garments goes all over the place, if they have any. If they, that is not sure. They are not at all concerned with the material world, and they do not care for any rules which are kept in the Vana, in the different Vanas. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gives a simple definition which I found in Chaitanya Bhagavat about an Avaduta. He says, one who has jumped over the rules of Vanashram and Ashram, an individual who is situated completely in the self, is understood to be a yogi beyond Vanashram. He is known as an Avaduta. And here is a key for the Avaduta. An Avaduta is, why does he behave like this? Is he just a disturbance to society? Why is he dressing? Why doesn't he, the way he dresses, why is he not concerned? He lives in another world. He is not one of us. He is belonging to the spiritual world, or he's situated only in the self. Yes, we are hearing that we are not the body. But when we are in pain or when someone dies, we forget it and we cry. It's still a theory for us. Avaduta. This is me? No, absolutely not. He does not have an emotional connection to the body. He doesn't feel for it because he is in his spiritual identity, and his qualities are Sat, he's eternal, Chit, he's full of knowledge, and he is full of eternally. Therefore, Lord Nityananda, who is full of bliss, his name is, yes, like this, Nityananda. I will give you one example to shock you a little bit, because you need to understand this in order to understand the dance of opposites. We are now talking something serious about spiritual life, no? So one day, out of ecstasy, Lord Nityananda did not remember that he had a physical external body, and he forgot absolutely what he was doing. At that time, he removed his cloth and he tied it on his head. He laughed as he jumped about, dressed only by the four directions, you know. And he staggered like a drunkard around in the courtyard. Hare Krishna. He was in the mood of a child, in other words. A little child. Little child, where's your dress? He is not thinking he needs a dress. The little child, he just laughs and joyfully jumps around and then smiles. No? There are avadutas in our tradition. One very famous avaduta is the speaker of the Bhagavatam. What is his name? Shukamuni, yes, Shukadev Goswami. Do you remember when he came to Parikshit Maharaj? He was surrounded by children and women who were laughing about him. He was completely naked, but he moved like a swan. He didn't notice this. His consciousness was somewhere else. Only when he came where the great saints and sages sat around Parikshit Maharaj, they rose and the ladies thought, wow, if he laughed about at the greatest of saints, and the children, whoa, and they ran away, but they had not seen. Vidura, after he gave up his palace life, staying in a forest, and when someone visited the previous prime minister of the mighty Hastinapur Empire, they saw a person with disheveled hair, totally unkempt, and so on. Who are other very famous avadutas in our traditions? Bharat, yes, at one state of his life, Maharaj Bharat, Rishabdev, yes, and Yad. Bharat was seen by the normal people as jada, as dull, because he didn't engage in conversation, nor did he do what normal people do. Prabhupada says, no concern for the material world. Narada and Angira are there. Sudama? Oh, I don't know who says Sudama. Maybe I made a mistake. Dattatreya, very famous. There were dogs around him. He came with many dogs and his companion and was very happy with them. My dear devotees, if any normal person like us would even think of imitating these exalted souls, we would fall and our consciousness would become impure. Avaduta is beyond anything. Hare Krishna. So I was born on such a day when he appeared. What to do? Now, we get to the subject. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you intrigued?
Yes.
Isn't it amazing How will you wrap your mind around this Radhika Ranjan? Or Prahlad Narsingha, the supremely mature one? How will you wrap your mind about it? All the things we normal people care, the people like us, they have no concern for this. They don't even identify with me the way we do.
Hare Krishna.
How will the Christians among you? Well, if you are a Christian, you have access to the mystical Christian dimension, where you have a few monks who are lost in love of Godhead. They would do things like stay on a pillar. They had a little seat there, you know, on a pillar, because they wanted to be removed from the normal people and not be influenced by them. So they sat and they, Jesus Christum, Kyrie eleison, Jesus Christum, Kyrie. They would chant the name of the Christian Savior all the time. No? Very, very, very exalted. They are not psychologically deranged people. They are always absolutely blissful. Something that we all want. No? Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he was Namo Mahavaranyaya, the most merciful of all incarnations. However, we are not, this is the pranam mantra, it's not what we talk about at the moment. However, he remained culturally conservative so that people could relate and understand his movement. He behaved as it was expected of Brahmanas. He ate at the home of other Brahmanas. He wouldn't eat at the house of other caste members. Although he saved them, but culturally, he would not, for instance, a renunciant should not associate closely with a king, because people would think, oh, he compromises his principles just to get money. So he did not want to see the king of Orissa, his good name, Prataparudra. He was culturally conservative so that people would not judge him and criticize him. He was, in a way, what drove him was magnanimity. That is a difficult word. Das freie Geben von Liebe zu Gott. Nicht? The free giving of love of Godhead. Nitai did not do this. He was going to people which Lord Chaitanya would not consider to go to. It was not allowed in the society to mix with drunkards and woman hunters. But Nityananda would go to them and give them love of Godhead. Who are two examples of these unmentionable people? Jagai and Madai, who later became initiated and they got the names Jagadananda and Madhavananda. No? My dear devotees, in every tradition, you have conservatives and liberals. Today, these terms, especially in a movement that still struggles to attain spiritual maturity, have become tinged in a negative way. When we think of a conservative, we think of a narrow-minded person, a rigid person, a highly opinionated person who has an opinion about everything and everyone. And when we think of a liberal, we think of a loose person, a lax person, an undisciplined person. But I would like to take today these expressions and what they really mean, not what they have become because of the culture in which they are used. The conservative approach is something which every spiritualist needs. It connects him to the tradition through faith in the tradition and fidelity, something like faith. Vervan knows that there is wisdom in the past. There is a reason for the rules and regulations. They help. And there is the liberal approach, which connects the tradition with the present times. Times have changed. People are different. Value systems are different. Languages have to be adopted to this. Prabhupada was aware, and he said, there will be a time when you need to translate my books into the contemporary way people speak. No? The liberal approach, whereas the conservative approach connects us with the past, the liberal approach connects us with the present, and therefore needs to have creativity, flexibility, and resourcefulness. My dear devotees, these two opposites, conservative and liberal, play also out in each one of our lives. There are parts in our life where a little more conservative approach would help us to not become influenced by Maya. No, we need a conservative approach. But we also need to be flexible and make decisions that are absolutely related to the changed time, the changed circumstances, and so on. And Prabhupada was once asked, how do we do this? He says, to know when to be conservative and when to know flexible needs a little maturity. You know, yes. My dear devotees, there are dangers in both approaches. If you are absolutely conservative, you might adopt something that destroyed the Vedic tradition, that is a hierarchy which was based on the body, that is, it translates into the caste system. No, the Brahmanas are the highest caste, they look down on the Muchis, the Sudras. No, this single thing has damaged the tradition like anything. Someone who is also only conservative would think, my small little group, which is keeping to my small little values, you know, from small, not small little values, my conservative values, is holier than the rest of humanity. This has destroyed a lot in ISKCON, where the early devotees who just woke up from the dream of material life thought just because they have shaved up and chanted and taken to a sadhu life style, they had and given up meat eating, they were better than the meat eaters and the kamis and so on. They just had a better chance, but they should also, they need to be free from judgmentalism. The danger of liberalism, on the other hand, is that one loses the essence because one tries to adapt to the changing values of today. I like to remember Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who was also, either he was born on Nityananda's appearance day, or he said Nityananda touched his heart very much. He said, if you now try to be normal, then in a few decades you will be seen as crazy. This is what liberals have to be afraid of. If they embrace the present values, they will change. They will change. Everything changes here, and so on. So, my dear devotees, these two dimensions, conservative and liberal, have all blessings to give and curses to give, like everything in the world. Everything you pick up in the world has two sides, is dual. There are advantages and there are disadvantages of it. We live not in a world that is absolute and has absolute things which are absolutely true always. Yes, but they have great benefit. And you need to see in your life when it is time to be a conservative and when it is time to be flexible and adapt to the situation. My own spiritual master, who is seen by many of you as extremely strict and strict in presenting the tradition, was extremely flexible. I remember when Prabhupada announced to the Vrindavan community of scholars that he would go to the West, they said, no, Swamiji, you can't go to the West. Sannyasis are not allowed to cross the ocean and then pollute their consciousness. Prabhupada knew about this. So the next meeting, in 1 week, he came with the Bhagavatam and says, the Bhagavatam needs to go to the West to explain the truth. Oh, yes, Swamiji, our Hindutva, our spiritual, our tradition. You know, let's not talk about Hindutva. Because we are not, strictly speaking, we are transcendentalists. We are Sanatan Dhammis. So that needs to go to the West. Yes, said Prabhupada, and it needs to have legs to move. I will be the legs of the Bhagavata. Take care, Swamiji. Please, you may go. Many times, Prabhupada changed the rules. There is an article which I once read, I do not know who's the author, which counted about 50 strong points where Prabhupada was adopted to the modern times. I know, for instance, but that's not even mentioned there. When he was in Moscow, he would store the milk in the bathroom because that was the only place where he could store. Now, this is an absolute no-go for brahmanas. They can't eat anything which comes from the bathroom due to the strict rules of cleanliness. He would build temples, Prabhupada, all over the world, but he didn't concern himself with the vastu, that is the strict architectural rules of Vedic times. His temples sometimes don't have a spiral. They are a room in an apartment building. and so on. And one of Prabhupada allowed men and women to stay together in a temple. Another no-go for the traditionalists. Some say Prabhupada was a mixture of an avadut and a conservative traditionalist. He writes in one of the purports, sometimes our friends from India come to me and say, Swamiji, this has not been done, and that has not been done. But they have not understood the principles of Krishna of Krishna. So, yes, Prabhupada was this. If you want to see the rules and regulations which we get from the traditions, are like a road that brings us somewhere where we want to go. The principles are something like the direction. So when it happens that the roads are blocked and you can't keep this going, you know, like having either you have a temple in an apartment house or no temple at all. At that time, the principles have to be followed. So that one still moves in the right direction back home, back to Godhead. It's therefore very, very essential that devotees begin to read carefully so that they can understand the underlying principles of genuine spiritual life and not go. So I want to give some examples of Lord Nityananda, how he was conservative. He did not meet Pratapa Rudra. In Varanasi, when he stayed there, he would not eat with everyone. He only ate with a Brahmin. He left the place where he was resting and took his meal in another house. In Puri, he would not associate with the son of a beautiful widow, so that the people did not speak about the his sannyas ashram. You know, oh, look, he is so friendly to the son of this widow. There must be something going on. People always talk, especially in ISKCON. You know, this is, Hare Krishna. So, he was very traditional about the knowledge. He wanted his movement to be connected to the past. Therefore, he ordered the six Goswamis, who were intellectual giants, to go through the entire Vedic corpus and extract scriptural references to establish the validity and relevancy of bhakti. No? He didn't invent something new. He quoted shastras, verses which he held, so that his movement and his followers would understand. This is not a new creation. This has roots in ancient spirituality. Nityananda, on the other hand, was culturally very radical. As a sannyasi avaduta, he went against the rules of society and flouted the cultural norms. For instance, it was expected of a avaduta, a renunciant, to dress in a very disheveled, to not care about dress, you know. Lord Nityananda sometimes didn't care about dress. At other times, he was so opulently dressed. He had garlands of jewels around him. He was perfumed. He had flowing silks. His turban had multicolors. He always had a red iron staff, which was very difficult to very, very heavy to wear. He went like this. Lord Nityananda had one golden earring and so on. He reached out to people from very low backgrounds. Brahmanas at that time were so strict about not becoming polluted by the energies of others that when they were touched by the shadow of a person like you and me, they would have to take a bath. By the way, some words about not being touched by the energies of others. There is value in this. There is great value, you know, what you let into your mind. It will be like seeds that germinate. If you look at scenes of violence or scenes of nudity and so on, you are inviting seeds that will that will influence. What are these seeds? Are they like fennel seeds? No, they are energies. When you do what many of you do, talk negative about others, negative qualities, you are absorbing like a bloating paper their qualities. I have been often advised by my friends in Vrindavan to be careful with the type of people I associate because of being extremely sensitive. And I sometimes feel it. I feel that I have nightmares. I'm usually a happy person. Why are there nightmares? I'm asking myself. It's because of associating with people. Now, with difficult people, I mean, not people, not like you. You are all saints and so on, at least theoretical. So Lord Nityananda did not care about these rules which were given for the upkeep of society. And he had, usually his disciples were thieves, rogues, artists, people who did not go by the norm. They were, and he did it, my dear devotees, for a certain reason. Remember, at the beginning of our lecture, we will project the verse for you, where he, O Raghava, listen, Mahaprabhu says, I have something very confidential to tell you. Lord Nityananda is non-different from me. He and my soul, we are the same. Mahaprabhu wanted to give love of Godhead to everyone. But because he moved in a certain society, his society would not be accepted if he would not play to some degree by the rules. Therefore, he had another expansion of himself, Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda did not play by the rules. He was, in other words, not constricted in giving mercy. Can you understand, Andre? No? It was a necessity. So, therefore, the dance of opposites, we have in the picture Gornitai dancing. This time Lord Nityananda is dressed so that you would all take great pleasure. And we have also ladies here, so of course, you know. And they dance on the platform of spirituality, of deep spirituality, of the deepest spiritual truths, the most confidential truths. These two need to dance in your heart also. It is shameful for a spiritual movement if conservatives and liberals start to discuss and battle with each other. They should talk to each other and see the good points and the dangerous points of their viewpoints, no? And they should embrace each other brotherly. This is what is the spiritual dance of opposites. No? Krishna. We have now a surprise. Congratulations. not congratulations. Nice that you're here. Our Amala Harinam has prepared as his gift for Lord Nityananda a very, very wonderful bhajan, which we will sing for him. We will have the text. As he sits down, let us chant the 12 names. We will do this a few times in this festival. Nityananda Vadute. We can run through it in one voice. Let us start. Nityananda Vadutendo Vasudha Pranavallabha Janavidhi Vidapati Krishna Prema Prada Prabhu Padmavati Sutashriman Satchinandana Purvaja Bhavannato Jagatrata Rakta Gaura Kalevara. No, Rakta Prema Bhakti Pradasya. See Sachi. Did we say this? See Sachinandana. No, that was the 12 names of Lord Chaitanya. Now, okay, let us continue. A little bit more melodically. I will sing it for you and then we will do. Chaitanya Krishna, Chaitanya.
Chaitanya Krishna, Chaitanya.
Gaurango Dvijanayaka.
Gaurango Dvijanayaka.
Jatinam dandinam chaiva.
Jatinam dandinam chaiva.
Yasinam cha shiromani.
Yasinam cha shiromani.
Raktam varadara shriman.
Raktam varadara shriman.
Davatvipa sudakara.
Davatvipa sudakara.
Prema bhakti pradaschaiva.
Shri
Sachinandanastata.
Hare
Krishna. So we will go now to the song. Amala Harinam, would you like to introduce your song, why you have chosen this, or would you rather just get directly into the song? Yes, please. G? Yes. You said G?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Vrajeye vihare purve Krishna Balaram Oti Surya Chandra Jini Donhara Nijadham Setui Jagatere Hoya Sadhai Goda Deshe Purva Shaila Orila Udhai Sri Krishna and Balaram, the personalities of Godhead, who formerly appeared in Vrindavan and were millions of times more effulgent than the sun and moon, have arisen over the eastern horizon of Godadesh, West Bengal, being compassionate for the fallen state of the world. Jaya Jaya Thank you. His half words spoken in a choked voice are the sweetest nectar. Whomever he sees, he hugs in the ecstasy of spiritual love.
Thank you. Thank you.
was soaked with tears.
I'm gonna go get some more.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Amala Harinam. It's a very good bhakti note. Our emotions are also very much welcome, especially when we sing bhajans and so on. I want to conclude but with a poem. But I want to give a little summary. My dear devotees, God loves us. He comes when he sees that we are becoming distant from him. He creates a ground where we can make experiences what it means to be distant. That is the material world. Then, as he looks at our attempts and how we become empty in our heart and empty of love and full of frustration, he becomes concerned and he sends great souls. He gives us scriptures. But when he even sees that this is not helping, he comes in his avatars, and this avatar, Gonitai avatar, they are only Kripa avatars, and to give their Kripa, they connect us with the ancient Vedic tradition, but also they reach out to us in our present concerns, our present situation. And he comes, and Lord Nityananda is that personality who is, there is one song, Adosha Karuna Nitai. The Lord Nityananda does not see the doshas, the mistakes of anyone, and is willing to give his forgiveness. My dear devotees, if I can give you something with you, please stop criticizing others because of their faults, real faults or imagined faults. This is not a very Nityananda-like perspective. He has come to save even the most degraded. And we will hear this evening an amazing katha where you will see miracles, mercy, ecstasy, tears, and everything but I don't want to say this. I just want to end this lecture by reading you a poem that was sent to me by a very mature devotee. His name is, the author of it is Jivan Krishna Das. He looks at Lord Nityananda and he says, Now, whom do we have to fear? For our merciful Nidai Chand stands at the ghat, ready to take us across the river of worldly life. The material world here is compared with a nadi, a river, and there is a boat place and a bathing place, a ghat. Lord Nityananda stands there and he's ready to take us. No matter how late the hour is or how terrible the storm, he takes our hand lovingly and seats us in his boat. And then he starts the journey, a beautiful adventure. O boatman of love, O Nityananda, please say, O boatman of love, Nityananda, though I am, we can stop here, though I am blind and a little mad, I am still your servant. The only fare I can offer you is a few hot tears, if only you will row me across. This Lord Nityananda pays no mind to the weight of his passengers. This means not your kilos, but your burden of karma, no? This Lord Nityananda pays no mind to the weight of his passengers, nor does he take any fee. Just say one time, Gaura Hari!
Gaura Hari!
And he will take you across. Maybe we need to just double is better, no? Gaura Hari! So here you find a boatman, Nityananda, taking us across samsara. And doesn't matter what is the hour of the day, doesn't mean what is, it doesn't matter what storms are going on in your life, what problems, what frustrations, and so on. He will take you by the hand and say, come, there's a seat in this boat for you. He doesn't pay any mind to that you have a little heavy karma with you, and he doesn't ask you for a fee. Just go Rahari. Perhaps you now know why the tradition encourages us to start our day by calling out the names of God, Krishna, 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 Go Rahari, Nitananda, anything. Have you done this, by the way? Yesterday, remember? Oh, it was just a lecture, Maharaj. We forget lectures. No, it was not a lecture. It was a helping hand that can help us to go to our next level. Good. So, I thank you very, very, very much. Let me ask Gaura Hari, are the deities ready to give us darshan? They are. Wonderful. So we will have a darshan of Lord Nityananda. Please look for Lord Nityananda. Where do you find him? Of course, on the left side. Where is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and where is Lord Nityananda? Lord Chaitanya is, from your perspective, where? Right? And Lord Nityananda is on the left side. Good, so you will find him. You can pray to him. And Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.